I'm going to read to you the end of this chapter, and we're going to go through the rest of the chapter as we go spend our time together today. But I'm going to read from you John chapter 4, verses 28 through 38. Make sure I got this right here. He says, let me go back to 27. Just then, we're talking kind of midstream on this, but we'll catch up. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, come and eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone else have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me." Can I get a witness on that? There's some good stuff that is going on that a lot of people are missing out on. To do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? He's talking about a man who would plant some seed and then wait 4 months and harvest it. He says, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest right now. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life. So that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows, another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Lord, we come to you, Lord, this morning, challenged by opportunity, Lord. We come to you, Lord, surrounded by options, making choices. Choices that lead to life and choices that lead to death. Lord, I pray your wisdom in this next several minutes, Lord, that we would indeed hear from you, that you would glorify yourself in our midst as you set the captive free, as you would raise the dead to life, and there would be dancing in City Heights this morning. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Well, Lisa and I have not always been in City Heights, although we have been here for a while. We lived in Mexico and worked at an orphanage for 3 years right after we were married. And I was a shepherd. I really was. I had goats. And my friend Dionysius, he had the stud goat. I'm talking literally here. He had the stud goat of the valley. And so I would talk to Dionysio about goats, and I even gave him this great big old pig one time, just trying to hook him up, you know, trying to trade him for a goat, you know, and I had a little flock rolling. And I remember going over to Dionysio's house one day, and he was kind of between the orphanage and the freeway, and just stopped by and talked with him. My Spanish was not that good, and we could talk goat, you know, chivo and all that stuff. And I'm walking up, and I'm not seeing him, and I hear him. And I walk over, and he is in this hole, and it is a big hole. And in fact, he is digging a well, and he is in this hole that is about 8 to 10 feet in diameter, and there is a pole across the top, and there's a rope, and he's got a bucket on the rope, and he's down there in the bottom with a pick and a shovel. And this is not Dionysio. This is a picture I got off the internet this morning. But that's what it looked like. I'm going, "Dionysio, what are you doing, man? ¿Qué haces?" And he's making a well. I'm like, wow. That's some work. And what you do is you dig and dig and dig until water begins to seep into the bottom of your well. And the water that comes in will be naturally filtered by all the dirt and all the rock, and it comes in and it's cool and it's nice, and you have a, I don't know, never-ending water supply. That's his desire. That's what he is working for. Have to get to water level. And I'm just looking at that hole, impacted by the amount of labor it would take to get to the water level. We are on a series of change. Series called The Challenge of Change. And my friend Dionisio, on his spare time, digging this well. We're talking today about the woman at the well, Jacob's well, dug 2,000 years earlier. Focus of this little town. Jesus has been ministering in Jerusalem. We talked about his meeting with Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders, Jewish leaders of the day, in incredible contrast to the Samaritan woman that he is going to meet today. Jesus has got action going on. He was in the temple at Passover time, cleared the temples with a whip, sure, embraced by all those that were selling and changing money. But embraced by the people, doing miracles, raising the eyesight of those who were blind, lifting those that were lame, even eventually raising Lazarus from the dead. There were crowds that were coming. Crowds were being baptized by his disciples. And there's so much action going on. But he has to get to Samaria. Action going on. People hearing from God, Nicodemus had no doubt that this was indeed the man from God. The miracles proved it. Big question for you this morning is, what do you do with the man from God? Where is his position in your life? Nicodemus struggled. Nicodemus came at night. Nicodemus left at night, and there was no visual change. We talked last week about how Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, were the ones who took Jesus off the cross 3 years later. That there was a change that happened in Nicodemus, but it was not immediate. Nicodemus was struggling with the truth. Many of us struggle with the truth. Story of this woman, she is struggling with her life. Jesus is heading to Galilee, about 50 miles north of Jerusalem, rough numbers. Would be like walking to Escondido. How many of you guys have ever been to Escondido? How many of you have ever walked to Escondido? So they get to this well, it's about halfway through the day, about lunchtime, the heat of the day. He runs into a Samaritan. One little problem. The Jews hate the Samaritans. And the Samaritans aren't really in love with the Jews either. This woman is on the job. Getting her water. Carrying her bucket. And as we'll see today, Jesus is on the job too. He's working for his dad, bringing opportunity. The title of today's message is, Opportunities Are Everywhere. Amen? Dionisio digging that well? About 12 feet. On the orphanage, we had a pump, pipes going down in the ground. Pumping water from the water table 180 feet down. I don't know how far Dionisio was figuring on digging, but I can't imagine it was 180 feet. So we got opportunities everywhere. You just got to make sure that you choose the right one. Amen? You spend your life digging in the wrong spot. In fact, It was just a couple of years ago, I talked to the orphanage director. He said they're having to have the pump company come back out and drop the well to 300 feet. That's a lot of digging by hand, amen? Opportunities everywhere. Make the right choice. Let's take a look. Going back to chapter, verse 4. Now we had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was, if you got your Bible, just underline tired as he was, if you would. Tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Jerusalem woman came to draw water, he said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Because Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus makes a meeting. Jesus has got work to do. Jesus had to go to Samaria. And in the Greek, it's really emphasized. He really had to go to Samaria. And he asked himself, you know, realistically, he could have gone around. In fact, a lot of the Jews went around Samaria because it was so distressing. I mean, you ever go to Northern California and go up 15 and just go around L.A.? You know, some people talk about that. Say, man, I'm just going around all that drama. And that's what the Jews did. They so hated Samaria that they would not even walk through Samaria. They want to get Samarian dirt on their feet. But Jesus has to go through. It's just this kind of re-emphasis in the Greek. Has to go through Samaria. There's stuff going on in Jerusalem. There's stuff going on in Galilee. He's headed to Galilee. But there is something that's going to be going on in Samaria. Amen? He has to go to Samaria because something's getting ready to happen. I have preached on this many times. I got to think at least four times. The phrase, "Jesus was tired," never popped out at me until this week. I'm going, Jesus was tired? Really? The only place in Scripture that Jesus is tired is right here. He didn't get tired on the way to the cross. He didn't get tired on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the only place. It's halfway through the day. I'm just going to leave that there. Just because I found it interesting. Well, actually, it is interesting. I'm going to come back to you, to that. It's in the middle of the day. Nobody else is around because they, like in Mexico and a lot of places in Europe, take the middle of the day off because it's so hot. They get a little lunch, kick back, and just wait until the afternoon begins to cool off and then go back to work. So Jesus sitting all alone, sends the disciples on ahead. No, you guys go ahead and go into town. I just wait here. And here comes this lady all alone. Says, "Can you give me a drink?" And you know, and she says all that stuff there. But she just says, "Really? That's the way we're going? Really? You know, are you feeling me on that? You know, that's what he said. Really?" Yeah, you're feeling me on that, I can tell. And he says, "No, not really. Because this meeting isn't about me, this meeting is about you. I'm not talking about water coming up from this 2,000-year-old well. I'm talking about living water for you." Boom! Okay, you got my attention. "Sir," the woman said, You have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Can you imagine coming to the well, slaking your thirst? That's what happens when you drink. You slake your thirst. It goes away. You're not thirsty anymore. It's slaked. He goes, you come and you get this stuff, you're going to need some more tomorrow. I'm talking about an entirely different situation. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water. Way different than a well. Welling up to eternal life. She says, what are you talking about, guy? You got no bucket. You got no rope. You got nothing I need. How are you going to get this water? This is Jacob's well. It's been here 2,000 years, man. Everybody in town comes here every day. I've been coming here every day. Tomorrow I'm coming back. Does I know? Because you're thirsty. This well, this bucket is a display of your thirst. You think that by this bucket you've got freedom, but you are held slave by your bucket because you always spend your day, how much water I got left? When am I going to have to go back to the well because I'm living thirsty? This bucket is a display of your problem. And it really says, you're so busy dying, you don't got time to live. That might describe you this morning. You might feel, I have felt like this woman. I lived my life a long time like this woman. Thirsty every day. Starving every day. Dying every day. So busy dying that I really didn't have a chance to live. Jesus talking about eternal life. He says you're bound by your death. You're bound by your bucket. You're bound by your thirst. He says, you're so busy just trying to get by, you're missing your opportunity to get ahead. Maybe you can relate. See, Jesus is talking about an eternal, a complete change in our life. He says, I want to set you free from your bucket. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about a transformation. I'm talking about an entirely different focus for you. How about you? You busy, too busy dying to live? Went to the doctor this week. Checkup. Being JJ's guardian, we got to go to the doctor and they got to tell them that we're not crazy and that kind of stuff. Yeah, you know, they got a little thing. Is this person too crazy to raise his child? It doesn't really say it like that, but about, is he psychologically balanced? And so I go and I get my blood test, and they got this hemoglobin A1C test that you take if you're a diabetic, and it shows what your blood level is for the last 3 months. And she walks in, and she goes, you are in trouble, man. Your diabetes is not good. And you know what? I'm going there, and I'm not even thinking about my diabetes. I'm just thinking, fill out the paper, lady. I got to get a TB test. Come on. How hard can it be? He says, your diabetes is out of control. You're at a 9, and you're shooting to be below 7. She says, you do this for another couple of years, your eyes are going to start going out, and your liver is going to start going out. And guess what? She had my attention. She said, bad things are going to happen. She said, what's going on? You testing? She goes, don't lie to me. You know, I'm here to help you. I said, well, I could test more. And I said, I'm too busy dying to live. Opportunities all around. I'm busy, man. I'm busy. I'm busy doing this after school program, trying to keep up with you guys. Too busy. Too busy dying to live. Opportunities all around. You got to pick the right one. Talking about opportunities today, man. We okay? All right, let's keep going. Oh, sorry, Jesus offers life. Dealing with the drama. You got drama? This lady had drama. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. See, she really hated that bucket. I don't want to come here no more. I don't want to carry this bucket anymore. I'd love to have a change. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you're right. In fact, you've had five husbands. And the one you got right now, he isn't even your husband. She says, you're right. Barriers to change. You might have some things in your life that are keeping you from making that right choice. Can't let go of my bucket. What do you got in your life? You got to let go of. There's opportunities all around. You just got to choose the right one. And some of us have made a life or a death of grabbing onto the wrong choice. Amen? I'll take that deal, she says. Where is this water? I don't want to come back to this well. I don't want to come back to this bucket. Where is this water? Let's talk about it. I hate this bucket. Go get your husband. Let's talk. Don't have one. And Jesus puts his finger right on the problem. You don't have a husband. You are so thirsty. It's killing you. You're moving from man to man to man just looking for a sip. You're so thirsty. And the more you try to drink, the thirstier you get. Her dying is getting in the way of her living. You too busy dying to live? Opportunities all around us. You got to make sure that you choose the right one. Amen? Time for change. Sir, the woman said, I can see you're a prophet. Oh my, you're a prophet. Man, you know my whole life story. Some of you right now might think that I am a prophet in that I am speaking right to you. I got no clue. It is the Lord that is doing a work in you right now if you are making the poor choices, making the wrong choices. If you're just dying, and your dying's getting in the way of your living. I can tell that you're a prophet, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Sir, the woman said, I can see you're a prophet, but I'm a little uncomfortable. Can I get a witness on that? Let's talk about religion for a second, can we? Let's just shift gears on this conversation. You're a little close. Feels like you're standing in my shoes, Lord. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is Jerusalem. Let's get into a little theological debate here because I really don't want to talk about me anymore. Oh, yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about, huh? No, 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 let's not go there, Pastor. And he says, oh, you're right. He says, believe me, a time is coming, woman, when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. And she's like, he's just saying, let's take this whole argument and put it over here. He says, time's coming when you're going to worship in spirit and in truth. Let's talk about you and let's talk about God. He says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. It's time to change. See, Jesus is getting real close to this lady. Puts his finger right on the issue of her life. And she's just trying to squirm out from under that touch. Ho, 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 ho. Let's just keep this at arm's distance here. And maybe you do that. Because I tell you what, you start coming to the Lord in worship, even as Aaron said, opening up your wallet and tithing, and that worship just begins to happen. And the Lord comes close and he begins to touch your life. And he says, man, you're surrounded by opportunities, but you're choosing the wrong ones. Man, you're so busy carrying around your bucket. You got no room for me. You're so busy dying. I got no way to move into your life with the ability to live. Well, I got to go to a new church. I got to get out of this Bible study. We're talking about real deal change here. Yeah. Talking about life change. Talking about death change. Jesus touching her soul. He knows it and she knows it. And she's trying to get away. Let's talk about worship. He goes, you want to talk about worship? Let's talk about you and your Father in heaven. And let's talk about truth. Because you've got a problem. And it's time to make a change. You want a right relationship with your Father in heaven, we got to deal with truth. You got to quit making poor choices and start making right choices. And she says, I am waiting for him to make an opportunity. And Jesus says, I'm your opportunity right here. Things have changed in my house since I went to the doctor. I'm trying to think, when did I go to the doctor? It was on Thursday. You know, because kind of had a feeling. She says, you got a test. You got to come back in a month. We're going to talk about adjusting your meds. We're going to do this stuff. You got a test. She goes, I want you to test after each meal. I know it's going to be tough. And I'm thinking, dying is going to be harder than that. Living blind is going to be harder than that. Living, you know, on dialysis is going to be harder than that. Getting my toes chopped off is going to be harder than that. I can test, lady. She goes, okay, I want you to test in the morning. That's your fasting blood sugar. And then I want you to test an hour after each meal. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, maybe test at night. Yeah, let's do that. And then you got to keep a log. You know, can you keep a log? You got a book? Yeah, start writing. And then she goes, and then we'll find out, because until I can change your meds, but until I know what's going on, I can't change your meds. Well, I change my meds. I'm like, whoa, we're going, I take 45 of this stuff, I'm going to 55. And the very next morning, my sugar was good. But I tell you what, right now, I am testing in the morning. I'm testing before I eat. I'm testing an hour after I eat. Before breakfast, after breakfast. Before lunch, after lunch. Before dinner, after dinner. Before I go to bed. Why? Because my tests show me what is going on with the choices I'm making. Oh, bad choice eating that pasta that Monica made that's so good for the after school break. You want a plate, Pastor? Yeah, I really do, but I'm not. And you know what? I'm feeling better. Got more energy. I'm a little pumped up this morning. It's good. Started living and not dying. You got room for life or you got room for death? See, we're surrounded by opportunity, but you got to make the right choice. Amen. Choose the right one. Amen? Amen. All right. Explore the opportunity. because we are surrounded. Then leaving her water jar. That's huge. The woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town. That's right, cross the disciples. Woo-hoo! Hustling back into town, no jar. "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could it be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way to the man from God. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I've got food that you don't know anything about." Then his disciples said to him, "Could somebody else have got him food? I mean, man, we've been working and working. I wonder if this lady hooked him up with a burrito, something like that. I don't know. Falafel, I don't know." Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Runs back into town. I mean, I don't know how hard she was hustling. Half a mile. She was done dying and started living. She left that bucket. "Come and see the man." Couldn't make it back to town as quick as she wanted carrying that bucket. You're going to come towards the Lord. There's going to be some things you've got to leave behind. Got to leave your dying behind. She goes, "Come and see the man. He told me everything. Could it be? Could it be?" And they come out. And you know, the disciples come back, cross this lady, you know, see him talking to the lady, going, "Man, what's up with the lady here? I don't know." And you know what they do? They say, as she's gone and he's got his action done, and they come up to him and they say, "Hey, Lord, look what we got, man. We got some lunch. We got everything we need. You want some?" The Lord goes, "No, I don't want none of that." See, the woman had left her bucket, but the disciples had just brought more of the same. "We got what you need, Lord." He goes, "No, that's not what I need. What I'm looking for is something entirely different. I got food you don't know anything about. My will, or my food, is to do the will of him who sent me." Supernatural shift. Woman had it. Disciples missed it. Came out of the same town. 12 of them. Followed by had their bucket, had their stuff, and nothing else. What do you got? Where's your focus? Last thing we'll take a look at today. And Jesus is now talking to his disciples. Opportunities everywhere, he says. "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest?" And I'm saying, man, it is time to pick right now. He's saying, "You guys went into town and you missed out on an incredible harvest. I had to come to Samaria because something's going on here. And I got this lady right here who's been steeped in sin, who's so thirsty in her whole life, that finds something new and she becomes a harvester in the kingdom of God, and you guys have missed it all. 4 months." No, I'm saying today. I tell you, open your eyes. Look at the fields, you know. And as he's standing there and he's talking to his disciples, half a mile away, there's the town and here's this crowd of people. Maybe not a crowd, just a stream, a steady stream of people coming out of town. "Come and see the man from God." Why? Because the woman who went from man to man to man in that town had a message. Message of eternal life. Springs of living water coming up out of her. Dead water no more. Done with my bucket. Different purpose, new food, new sustenance, new opportunity that she is grabbing onto. "Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Crop's ready. Disciples just worried about their bucket. Disciples just looking to get some lunch. Missed the harvest, looking at it all wrong. Don't you want any of this, Lord? He says, no, I got something entirely different going on. I came to Samaria for this. Stay there 2 days. People learned about the kingdom of God. Who's playing guitar for me today? Sam, you want to come up and play something? What do you got? What'd you drag in here today? Jesus talks about the reaper and the sower both being happy. Aaron talked about how happy his daughter was to give him that cup and how happy he was to receive it. He says there's this combo thing that goes on. And that's what Jesus is talking about. There are opportunities to take a sip, to try and slake your thirst. Or there are opportunities to join with God in your life. You want to see some happy people around here? You know who they are. They are the ones that have linked arms with the Lord and working in the harvest field. Amen? Because when you can celebrate with God, when you can pick a crop in your life that reaches into eternity with a reward, it's so much different than dragging around a bucket. You've got things. Things that are keeping you dying. Are you too busy dying to live? You got so many opportunities around you that you're not picking the right one? We got some people that are sick. We got some people just made some poor choices. You are here this morning. Started off the day well. Isn't it good to come to church? You're going, oh, quit talking about choices and opportunities. Yeah, hallelujah, let's sing. Or one last little thing, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for those who have dropped their buckets, Lord. I thank you for those that have linked arms with you and work in the harvest field, Lord. There is indeed so much of a crop to bring in. Sometimes we are overwhelmed with crop, Lord. Celebrate your goodness, the joy that we can have working with you. People walking around right now, getting ready to go to work. People downstairs teaching, working. People going down there to cook, work. Some of you got other stuff going on. You're going, whoo, yeah. Some of you working at Celebrate Recovery, whoo, yeah. Glory of God coming down this place on Monday nights. Hurting and thirsty people coming in, being transformed. Maybe you come in here this morning dragging a bucket. Digging as hard as you can, as hard as Dionysio, 12 feet down, got to go 180 to hit water. Where you're digging is never going to get you life. You're too busy dying to live. And the Lord is saying, I got eternal life for you right here, right now. But we're going to have to worship in spirit and in truth. And right now, you got to realize that you are just dying. You're dragging around a bucket of death, and it is time to let go of that bucket and begin to live. And I know some of what's going on in a lot of you. But I don't know what the Lord is doing in your heart right now. He is doing something. He did something in the Samaritan woman at the well, put his finger right on the issue of her life. And I trust that the Spirit is here this morning and he has got a finger on you. You can squirm out and say, I'm not coming back to this church, and that's on you. Or you can say, Lord, I'm tired. I hate this bucket. I've been dragging it around so long. It's so heavy. And I see it now. It is a bucket of death. And I'm ready to live. I'm ready to choose you, Lord. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is on you this morning. This day is just for you. And you say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'm so tired. I'm so thirsty. And I'm ready to quit and grab onto you. Nobody looking around. That's you. I just want you to just raise your hand up, just like you're reaching to heaven, reaching out to Jesus' hand and say, Lord, here I am. I grab onto you. I'm going to drag my bucket around anymore. Here. Somebody else will say, that's me. Here and here. Put your hand down. Anybody else say, that's me. I'm so thirsty. But I'm ready for you, Lord. Don't go out of here thirsty today. That's you this morning. One last shot. Just slide your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're so good. Lord, I thank you that there are just springs of living water by your Spirit that come, that guide and direct us and transform us, Lord. I pray for those that come in here so thirsty this morning. Buckets falling away. Death falling away. New life, eternal life, springing up. Be a well of transformation. In Jesus' name. Stand with me, will you? We're going to sing this song. You want to pray? You're thirsty? You want to come and get a drink of the Lord? I invite you to just come. I don't know, you've been working in the field and you're just happy and you just need a little extra this morning. Come on down. You just come in thirsty saying, oh, Lord, I'm going to leave a bucket up there and I'm going to come by with a brand new life. I invite you to come. But if you're thirsty, don't leave thirsty. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's sing. Glory to God.